Programmers, schmogrammers. It is a culture of never being not good enough. If you are ever missing anything, you just build it or invent it. I remember sitting in my car pecking workout programs into little soft button and later screen keyboards that beep at me when I need to go and stop. Independently inventing interval timers. I wrote a tiny program every holiday, independently inventing forever alone. I invented and reinvented everything inside out. My only limit was time. There was never enough time, never ever. The programs must always be tiny. And here a fellow programmer will check me and say, "You didn't go to programming school just to have fun." But that's because I didn't have the time. Neither parties nor worker drones ever impressed me. But yeah, I admit it. If I went to college that revolved around programming, it would have been amazing. For one, I wouldn't have to learn anything and I could spend all my time writing software. Nah. You know, realistically, we all have to learn to compose music and we have to be digital painters. So I had to learn how to compose, or at least make my way towards the comprehension necessary to start learning for real. And oh my gosh, I really had to master teaching digital art. I can totally do it now. And interview questions are always crap. Being asked how many times a day do clock hands overlap is not a good question. That is not how programmers work. Even the trivial questions like what is dead beef or what is OP, not what it's for or what it shouldn't be used for, but just what it is. This stuff makes me leave the interview, just like with stupid parties and overwork. Paychecks and blood clots never called to me. And it wouldn't be about clock hands at all, not for me. It would be about reinventing trigonometry. Hey, all I need is a triangle. And I can see what those freaking angles are doing in there. I know a good thing when I see it. I like the trig program. But interview questions are a wall that no one sane will want to pass through. For one, you have to give up all your creativity just to hang on to that one real job. And the interview questions, there are real interview questions. Those are the ones where programmers are searching for specialists, like maybe people that work with event sourcing or databases or custom cache or some such beautiful marvel. And they will sit down with you across multiple interviews and talk to you, try to figure out if you can help them with the software that they are working on. Yeah, I know that this stuff exists, but they are asking for your soul. And more precisely, not enough time in life to go into battle in there. I'm not even certain if it would be that fun. Dead beef, or coffee as I prefer it, spelled with zeros, just so that you know. Those are words made with letters A through F and some of the numbers. They are part of hexadecimal notation. It's not just spelling with hexadecimals, but these come up in binary things, files and chips and such. Another piece of evidence that all the coders eventually just freaking stop working and play around for decades. There's no time to figure out all the formulas and all the questions. A programmer must retire at 23 at most. You had your office experience, GTFO, and build startups for a hobby. That's your retirement hobby. Sitting at the desk is deadly. We are not to live in cubicles. Oh my gosh. Or, you know, noisy and gassy open spaces. A stand-up desk is just admission of defeat. Humans are artists first. You can code for art, but no. Do not code for paychecks. If you feel trapped already, walk the Appalachian Trail. Push yourself away from the desk and go hit the trail. It will make you wise and it will save your life. Follow up with the Pacific Crest Trail and the Continental Divide Trails to get started. Bring plenty of waterproof markers for your diagrams. Make sure they don't melt away. But this is where it happens. Programming for art's sake. Here you learn the power of the set theory with just the intersection and difference functions. It will turn a 40-line program into 4. Here you program self-sizable gadgets for your 3D printers and turn your artifact models into intricate self-assembling jewelry. And yeah, you need a Raspberry Pi vacuum, and it needs a robust targeting system. Though, I don't know if you want to do the ML thing. The whole pattern matching statistics just kind of weird. What you need is solid programming. Gonna have object recognition, but if that thing ever goes for you, you almost want it to win. You haven't lived until you had to take out your FTP server. Out the window. And, you know, if you're not into vacuum cleaners, obviously programming small drones to move in swarms. And you won't be able to find that at work, at least not without some horrible consequence. These are things that you can only do for art's sake at home where no one will ever know about it. Though plenty of people will know about it from tutorials, from a different perspective. And your books, your cookbooks, your programming cookbooks. Yeah, it's worth the while, I assure you. But always remember to choose wisely because we are constrained by time. And no, you may not move into the attic where you work on your creepy mathematical formula. You need to learn how to live. Stay away from mathematical proofs. Ew. If an interview is asking you stupid questions, leave immediately. They are looking for push-arounds. You go build your next program. That's time way better spent. When they ask about school, say self-taught and that you are unwilling to reveal the schools that you went to, if any at all. They know schools don't teach. They just want to know how desperate you are to work at this job. They don't want you to think. They just want you to shut up and do what you are told so that they can cover their ass. The life of a programmer is the life of a creature who can interface with anything and microscopically examine everything. The only limit is always time. And so you adapt to write the same way that students should learn in real schools. You choose the sequence of programs that call to you, and you write them at the pace that fits you best. All programmers learn inside out, and they are always 8 steps ahead of the interview question. I guarantee you that if someone doesn't know about polymorphism or mixins or event sourcing or event emitters, it is because they reinvented them under a different name in a different language. Oh, and programmers do know when the interviewers are lying, and they can tell when they are used as filler material to hire another family member somewhere. The best programmers are artists, writers, adventurers, athletes, bodybuilders, and ultramarathon runners. They are the fools that never cease loving life. They are always programmer second and something beautiful first. For the best programmers, programming always comes distant second. If I had to describe the life of a programmer with one word, I would use the word watchmaker.